This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom aleichem, baruchim abayim. Welcome, everyone. We're continuing our shiurim on Sefer Devarim, the shiurim of Tavshin Pevav, dedicated by the Israeli family of great neck, Nishmas Malka Bas Yosef. Also dedicated, Zechus Fur Shalema, for Nasan Ben Menucha, Pesach Shar Chale Yisrael. Sefer Devarim is generously dedicated by Dr. Zaka Mishpachta, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rav Shem Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakaim, Rivka Bas Tovi Halevi, Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin. Sefer Devarim is also sponsored by Mrs. Yehudit Herman, Le'iloi Nishmas, her husband, Harav Shabsi Benish ben Moshe. Tonight's shir is dedicated by our dear friend Rav Avi Tachman for a Refuah Shleima, Zchus Refuah Shleima for Yehudis Rachel Bas Hendel. She should have a Refuah Shleima, Bekarav Mamish, Besor Shar Chal Yisrael. Okay, we have very good news. You ready for this good news? You see the Sefer? You see it? You could get it for free now. You could get it for free. All you have, good, he's smart. What's the catch? There's nothing free in this world. Go to Sefer at marbitzetorah.com, new email address. Forget the one that is throwing everybody off. Sefer at marbitzetorah.com. And all you have to do is commit to learn it a little bit each week, and you can get it for free. Somebody is dedicating many, many of these svarim so that people learn them. Or if you want to commit to learn it, I can give it to you right now. Okay.
Which sefer?
It matters which sefer it is. You're getting it for free. What's, you know? It's called, oh. Now this sefer is Berchas HaTzadik. I'm gonna spill beans now. I never said this publicly. The Sefer Berchas HaTzadik, as you know, is a collection of the Dvei Torah of the Tzadik of Ranana, Rev Yitzchak HaKoyin Huberman, who wrote a haftacha that anyone who learns from the Sefer and says it over, he'll bail you out in this world and the next world. In fact, the great Rosh Yeshiva Rav Tzvi Koshelevsky, who had a baby at 88 years old, I should put it in the comments. Then it's Sefer at marbitzetorah.com. He attributes one of the reasons he was Zochah to Yeshua is that he would say over from the Sefer daily. You know that I was recently in Yerushalayim and we were Zochah to make a simcha. Well, we made our first shidduch, and the chassan's father is a Talmud of Rav Tzvi Koshelevsky. How do you like that? He came to the Vart. Anyway, so if you want to get that for free, you could get that for free. Make sure you're well equipped for Elul, the mystery and the majesty. This is, I think, the first English sefer. It's now available in English, in Spanish, in French, and Portuguese. Okay, here we go. We have a very interesting topic today. Parshas Ki Tzetzeh. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Semuchim la'ad la'olam. Can you get me a siddur with Tehillim in it? Semuchim la'ad la'olam. Adjacent. Thank you. Juxtaposed forever and ever. Asuyim be'emes v'yashar. Made in truth and justice. Smuchim la'ad la'olam, juxtaposed forever and ever. Asuyim be'emes v'yashar, made with truth and justice. What is this talking about? What exactly is smuchim la'ad la'olam? This is going on the Torah. It says earlier in the Perek, Gedoyle ma'asei Hashem. Derushim l'chol cheftzehem. It says ne'emonim kol pikudav. It's going on the Torah HaKadosha. The Torah HaKadosha is smuchim la'ad la'olam. It's juxtaposed forever and ever. Asuyim be'emes v'yasha. The pasuk seems to indicate that where things are placed in the Torah has eternal significance. The placement of something. I'll give you a mashal. There's a tshuva, I wasn't even intending on saying it, but it just struck me. There's a tshuva in Shailos, the tshuva is Chod HaMeshula Asher Reb Chaim V'Lajner. Roiv Kavanas HaRambam could be derived by where he chooses to place certain halachos. If you want to understand the Rambam, most of the meaning lays in where did the Rambam position this halacha. For example, Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer is in Hilchos Karbanos. What do we see from there? That Sfiras HaOmer is connected to bringing the Karban HaOmer. And maybe if you don't have the Karban HaOmer, maybe it affects the Mitzvah Sfira. So let me ask you something. If most of the Kavanah of the Rambam is derived by where the Rambam placed a certain halacha, then certainly a lot of the Kavanah of what the Torah means could be derived by where something is placed in the Torah. Let me give you an example. Bracha Yistaf Yud. A certain Tzedoki said to Rabbi Avahu, it says in the third chapter of Tehillim, Mizmar LeDavid Bevarchai Mipnei Avshalom Benoi. A psalm of David when he ran away from Avshalom, his son. And it also says, a psalm LeDavid Michtam when he ran away from Shaul in the cave. Friends, what came first? David running from Shaul or David running from Avshalom? From Shaul. When David ran from Shaul, he wasn't even the king yet. Shaul was the king. David ran from Shaul when David was a young man. He didn't run from Avshalom until David was already the king himself. So first David ran from Shaul, then he ran from Avshalom. And yet in the third chapter of Tehillim, it talks about David running from Avshalom. And not until something like the 57th parak of Tehillim does David run away from Shaul. So tell me, what come first? Running away from, Nun Zion. Running away from Shaul or Avshalom? So the Min said, Shaul. So then why in the world did David HaMelech record his running away from Avshalom before he ran away from Shaul? You ready for this? Rabbi Avos said back, you don't darshan smuchen. You don't give significance to where things are positioned. That's why you have the question. But we darshan smuchim, we don't have a question. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, where in the Torah do we see there's significance to where something is placed? The Pasuk in Tehillim, Smuchim la'ad la'olam asuyim be'emes v'yashar. Why? Now, the third chapter of Tehillim is the story of Avshalom running away from David. The second chapter of Tehillim is the story of Melchemes Goyg u'Magog, Lama rakshu goyim ul'umim yegurik. Why is the story of Avshalom juxtaposed to Melchemes Goyg u'Magog? Because you'll say, no, it will never happen that nations will actually rebel against God. You think a nation like Goyg u'Magog will ever stand up and rebel against God himself? Nah, it's impossible. It's an invented story. So therefore in Tehillim, David HaMelech juxtaposed the story of Avshalom rebelling against him to the story of Goyg u'Magog. So if anybody ever questions whether it will actually happen that Goyg u'Magog will challenge the authority of God, David HaMelech says, will a son ever rebel against his father? Just like that's inexplicable, the story of Goyg u'Magog will also happen before the coming of Mashiach. So the Gemara is saying, an Apikoros challenged Rabbi Avohu, that how could Tehillim be true? Why does David record the rebellion of Avshalom before him running away from Shaul? And the answer is, it's all a matter of location, location, location. Yeah? You ever hear? Now you know where it comes from. Location, location, location. Says Rabbi Yochanan, where do we see a raya to the significance of smuchin, where something is placed? The pasuk smuchim la'ad la'olam. Rabbi Avo says, you apikoros, you don't darshan smuchim, but we who darshan smuchim, we understand Avshalom is, even though it happened later, but it's juxtaposed to the story of Goyg u'Magog. In case anybody will ever question whether Goyg u'Magog will happen, David HaMelech says, you wouldn't think the story of Avshalom would happen either. From this Gemara, it seems like everybody darshans smuchim. Only who doesn't darshan smuchim? An apikoros. To which Avo said, you apikoros, you don't give any significance to smuchim, but we give credibility to smuchim. What's interesting is there's a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos now brings not Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, smuchim in atoyra minayin. So again, in Brachos it's Rabbi Yochanan, in Yevamos it's Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar says the source of smuchim is the pasuk in Tehillim. Smuchim la'ad la'olam asuyim be'emes v'yashar. And now the Gemara says, you know what an example of smuchim is? This week's parsha. What's the halacha if a man dies without children? The deceased brother has to marry the wife of the deceased. What do you call that?
Yibam.
What if the guy...
What
if the guy has pus pimples all over his face? He looks atrocious. He's disgusting. He's oozing with mucus. He's slimy and grimy. And he also is not too good looking either. So, what if the woman says, no thank you. No thank you. It's nice to see you. I'll see you next Hanukkah. You know? Actually, I can't make it next Hanukkah. Actually, I'll see you next Yovel. I'll see you when there's 3 days Rosh Chodesh. You know? How do you know that if the man is a mukashchin that we don't muzzle her and say, just marry her? The Torah in this week's parasha says, Loisach Soim Sharbadishai, don't muzzle an ox when he's threshing. And right next to it, it says, if two brothers are alive together and one of them dies, then the wife of the deceased marries the other brother. What in the world is the juxtaposition between not muzzling an ox and the mitzvah of Yibam? Says the Gemara Yevamos, the juxtaposition is that even though there's a mitzvah of Yibam, we're not going to muzzle her. If the guy is disgusting, we're not going to force her to do Yibam to him. That's juxtaposition of the mitzvah of Yibam to the lav of Lo Yisach Soim Shar B'dishai. Smuchim in HaToyra Minayin. Now, comes Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef says, even those who don't darshan smuchim, in Sefer Devarim, they do darshan smuchim. For example, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchim. But in Devarim, he darshan smuchim. Wait a second. That's pretty interesting. Because the Gemara in Bracha said that Rabbi Avo said to the Apikoros, you guys don't darshan smuchim. So you don't understand why in Tehillim Avshalom is mentioned before Shal. But we darshan smuchim. Oh, wait a second. It's not only the Apikoros who doesn't darshan smuchim. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchim either. So how do you reconcile these Gemaras? I actually didn't see anyone who asked this question. And the answer is very simple. When the Gemara in Yevamos says that we're darshaning smuchim and we're analyzing the juxtaposition of don't muzzle an ox when it's threshing with the mitzvah of Yibam, the Gemara is saying we're going to learn out a halacha from the juxtaposition of loisach soim shar b'dishai and ki yeshu achim yachdav. The halacha is there's a mitzvah of Yibam, but not if the guy is an ugly mukashchen. So we're actually deriving a halacha. We're creating a new body of law from the connection between the two sources. Not everybody does that necessarily. But everybody will say there is significance to the juxtaposition of two parshiyos. In other words, some would say you can't create a halacha. It's not like Yud Gimel Midosh HaTornid Reshes Bahem. Others say it is like Yud Gimel Midosha. In other words, the Gemara in Yevamos that brings a legitimate machlokes, do we darshan smuchim everywhere or only in Devarim? That's regarding deriving halacha. But if you want to know why is Avshalom's story written before Shaul, it's because in case anybody is incredulous about Melchemes Gog u'Magog, it juxtaposes it to Melchemes Gog u'Magog, just like the story of Avshalom happened, the story of Gog u'Magog will happen. Everybody gives credence and significance to smuchim. The question is, do we derive halachos from it? And that's going to be the backbone of today's shir, significance of smuchim in the Torah. Now, by the way, just as an aside, why would somebody usually not darshan smuchim and only do it in Devarim? Okay? Tosfos in Yevamos says, if you remember, because the Gemara over there, the Gemara in Yevamos says, why would you do it in Devarim? Either because something's extra or because it's compelling. And Tosfos says, it happens to be in Devarim, it's always either extra or compelling, and everywhere else it's not. But others, Rabbi Bezalel Ransberg writes, nah, that's not the reason. The reason is, the first four books are directly the Word of God. You can't ask on God, why did he put one thing here, he put something else elsewhere. We don't know his cheshbonos. But Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu relaying what Hashem said. Well, why did Moshe put it in this order? That's the difference. Okay, we once gave a shiur on that topic, probably over 10 years ago. So the reason I want to talk about this topic this week is because, A, I have what to say about it this week, which is the main reason. And also, I would say, if there is any parasha in the Torah that you see the phenomenon of smuchim repeatedly, it's kiseitze, for a number of reasons. Did you know that in kiseitze, there are more mitzvahs than any other parasha in the Torah? There's 74 mitzvahs in kiseitze, ayin dalet mitzvahs. There are more mitzvahs in this week's parasha. So every mitzvah, you have the right to ask, what's this mitzvah doing next to that mitzvah? Like, why were they given in this particular order? Also, if you look throughout Rashi, Rashi in this week's parsha brings ten examples of smuchim that I found. Just Rashi, okay? Fine. So far we saw one, the Gemara in Yevamos. Why does our parsha? By the way, the classic example of smuchim and shas is Parshas Kiseitze. Loisachsem shor bedishoy ki yeshuachem yachtav. Rashi says, by the way, I'm going to say something now that's totally not politically correct. Okay, so now that I gave you that disclaimer, you're allowed to say anything if you give a disclaimer. Do you know about that? Like, let's say you go over to a rabbi and you say, with all due respect, that allows you to unload whatever you like. Right? There's certain halachas. There's certain disclaimers that allow you to. So that this is not politically correct. It says that if somebody goes out to war against the enemy, a Jewish soldier is allowed to live with a Gentile woman. He's allowed to take her, and under certain conditions, he has to wait a certain amount of time. The mitzvah of the Eisha Sifas Toyar. It's a question. Is it Mechames Rishos? Is it Mechames Mitzvah? The Lashon of Chazal is Loi Dibra Toyra Ela Kineged Yetzahara. When you're fighting a war and the adrenaline is rushing and a person is in the throes of the war, and he sees a Eisha Sifas Toyar, it's going to be nearly impossible to overcome the temptation. So since we presume the person will give in to their desire, the Torah says you're allowed to do it. The Lashon of Chazal is Loi Dibra Toyra Ela Kineged Yetzahara. Yeah? So, the grandfather of the Gra says like this. You ready for this? The Gemara throughout Shas says, the two main gifts that a woman bestows on a man is she takes care of the kids and she saves him from sin. This woman, what's going to happen if you live with her, we're about to see, is the juxtaposition of the Yifas Toyar to Ben Sarah Moira. You're allowed to live with her, but you're going to have a rotten kid. She's not raising your children. So she doesn't give you that benefit. So all she does is she's saving you from the Yitzhara. That's what Chazal mean. Loi Dibra Toyra. Ella, can I get Yitzhara, the grandfather of the Gra? Okay, I think we survived that one. Fine. Says the Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're allowed to live with her, because if we don't allow you, you're going to do it b'Isser. But the next parasha in the Torah is, if a man has two wives and he hates one of them, why is that the next parasha? Because the Torah is saying, go marry her, but ultimately you're going to hate her. The next parasha in the Torah is, you're going to have the wayward, rebellious, wicked child, Ben Sarah Umayra. So think about it. First comes Yifas Toyar, then comes the woman you hate, then comes Ben Sarah Umayra. Says Rashi, Lekach Nismachu Parshiyos Halalu. By the way, the Chassam Sofer says this is the most unfair thing in the world. The Torah says, yeah, we understand the human shortcoming. We understand human weakness. We have no choice. Go marry the woman. The only thing is, it's going to be a disaster. You're going to have terrible children. Thanks, but no thanks. What's the big allowance being given over here? Yeah, but this is assuming Haya Venivra, Avshalom was a Ben Sarah Moira. Baal Turim says Avshalom Gematria Ben Sarah Moira. Yeah? So Chassam Sofer says, we once spoke this out. If you actually cannot overcome and you legitimately need to live with her, then you're allowed to. And your children are going to be Rashi, Yeshiva, Mashgichim, Gedolei Yisrael. The Ben Sawyer Moro is a guy who's fooling himself. He says, I want to live with her. Oh good, the Torah says that I understand human nature, so I'm going to take advantage of the heter. That's the guy who's going to have the Ben Sawyer. Okay. But this is another two examples of smuchim. Yeah, Ben Sarah Mayra, followed by the woman who you hate, Yifas Tayar, followed by the woman who you dislike, followed by the Ben Sarah Mayra. The next parsha in Kiseitse, V'chiyya be'ish chet mishpat maves, the man who commits a sin that he's liable to the death penalty. Says Rashi, what's this doing here? Rashi says, it's coming to tell us that if you don't take your Ben Sarmara kid and kill him, ultimately he's going to commit a sin, he's going to go off the path, and he's going to be Chayiv Misa. Meaning the next subject matter in Kiseitze is a continuation of the subject, a continuation of the phenomenon of Smuchim. In other words, the reason why the next parsha is V'chiyya be'ish chet mishmat maves, the situation of somebody who committed a capital offense, is that's the next natural stage of the Ben Sarah Mayra. Next, we have the mitzvah. We'll come to this. A man should not dress like a woman. A woman should not dress like a man. Okay. We'll come back to that. Followed by Shiluach HaKein. That's a good one, no? Don't dress in the clothing of the opposite gender. By the way, look in Targum. Don't dress in the clothing of opposite gender. Women cannot hold arms.
Women cannot hold
arms. Let me clarify. Cannot use weapons. Women are now to use weapons.
How about driving a car?
Stamley shouldn't be driving. Okay. But women can't hold weapons. Look in Targum Yonasan. Women can't wear tzitzis. The next mitzvah in the Torah is Shiluach HaKein. The next mitzvah is make a fence around your roof. The next mitzvah is don't plow your field klayim. Don't plant wheat and grapes together. Next mitzvah is tzitzis. Says Rashi, why are all these things back to back to back? Says Rashi, because if you fulfill Shiluach HaKein, Hashem is going to give you a new house. You'll strike it big, you'll build a new house. And if you build a new house, you're going to make a fence. You make a fence, you'll own real estate. You'll have a vineyard. You can take care of it according to halacha, you'll have nice clothing, and you'll have tzitzis. That's why all these parshios are juxtaposed. Shiluach HaKein, if you fulfill it, you'll have a bayis chadash, you put up a makkah, you'll have a nice vineyard, you'll have nice clothing. Let's take this further. Then it says, lo yigale kenaf aviv. Rashi says this is talking about if your father is waiting to do yibum to a woman, don't live with that woman. You hear this? Now, what kind of woman would your father be waiting to do yibum to? That must be your father's brother's wife, your uncle. You can't live with your father's brother's wife anyway. So Rashi says it's two lavin. One, it's your father's brother's wife, and it's the yavam of your father. And right next to that it says, Lo Yavo Imam Zer B'Kal Hashem. Why? to say that only if you violate a chayve krisos does it create a mamzer. If a kohen lives with a chalal, it doesn't make a mamzer. If somebody lives with a moabite, it doesn't make a mamzer. It says next to lo yigala knaf aviv, lo yavei mamzer, in order to teach that mamzerus is only created by chayve krisos. That's another juxtaposition, where we literally learn out the halacha of what creates mamzerus. No, but that's how we paskin. Rabbi Kiva says even Chavi Lavin, yeah, but we hold only Chavi Kusas. Next, this is a famous one. It says, Loi Silba Shatnez, Gedilim Tasalcha. It puts Shatnez next to Tzitzis. What does Shatnez have to do with Tzitzis? The answer is, you're allowed to make Tzitzis Shatnez. It says, don't wear Shatnez, but for Tzitzis, it could be Shatnez. That's again, provided you have Tchelas. If you don't have tchelas, it can't be shanas. Then at the end of the parsha, it says, "Mois neit tzedek, av neit tzedek." Little trivia question: where is Gladstein in Parshas Kiseitze? The name Gladstein. Mois neit tzedek, honest scales. Av neit tzedek, are righteous stones. Glat Stein. That's where it comes from. One time I had to write something with a pen name, so I wrote it under Avnei Tzedek. But I'm not telling you what it was. Okay. So, and then it says Amalek. So says Rashi, if you're dishonest in your weights and measures, Amalek will come. We went through 10 smichus that Rashi points out in Parshas Kiseitze. I think we got them. I don't know, maybe. We got 10. We got, and then another one from the Gemara on Yevamos. The Gemara on Yevamos points out the juxtaposition of Loisachsim Sharbadisha Kieshu Achim Yachtav. We have Yifas Toyar to Isha Senua to Ben Soiro Moira to the person who commits a capital offense. Fulfilling Shiluach HaKein awards you with a good house, which awards you the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah Makkah, which allows you to be zoicha to a good vineyard, to nice clothing. We learn out Mamzerus is only from Chayve Krisus, from Smichus, and Amole comes from dishonesty. And then I found a sefer. The name of the sefer, I've been using it the whole year. Smuchim Laad. Explaining every single juxtaposition in the whole Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Why one thing is placed next to the next. It's written by Reb Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, the Baal Shevet Moser, who my children are direct descendants of, but not from me. Reb Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir wrote a sefer, Smuchim La'ad. And he delves into many of the juxtapositions in the parsha that Rashi doesn't discuss. One of them we discussed Sunday. Let's go back to Loisira Eshar. We didn't even speak about this yet. The pasuk says that if somebody commits a capital offense, don't leave him hanging overnight. And then it says, if you see the ox or the sheep cast away, and you're going to ignore it? No! If you see your friend's ox lost, don't ignore it! Hashiv teshivim! What in the world does the man who commits a capital offense have to do with an ox and a sheep? Okay, this one's an interesting one. He says it very simple. Because sometimes if you commit a capital offense, you got to come back to this world. Now, how do you think you come back to this world? As what? You think you're going to come back as a guy on the Yankees? You come back as an ox or a sheep. You come back as an ox. The juxtaposition, he says, of kiyah be'ish chet mishmat maves v'humas tu kisira shar v'chamar shar achicha yisea nidachim is because the guy came back now as an ox or a sheep. Now, how do you help the guy? How do you fix the guy? The answer is, you eat cholent with meat in it. When you eat cholent with meat in it, no, don't go with the vegetarian option. Actually, the Gemara says an Am Haaretz is not allowed to eat meat because he doesn't know what to do with the meat. He has no idea what to do, so he's better off not eating the meat because it's not really so healthy. But still, you got to do a chesed to the meat. So how do you do a chesed meat? You make sure you get shechted meat. Once the meat is shechted and you make the right bracha, the guy who's now in your cholent, he's in the cholent. If you wonder what happens to a guy who commits a capital offense, cholent. You ever wonder why in the last generation before Mashiach, when I was a kid, there was just regular cholent, and the cholent was only Shabbos morning. Really, I never. Then, like all of a sudden, people start having it Friday night. Then, people start tasting it Erev Shabbos. Now, Thursday night already, people are eating cholent. And they're still eating it Matzah Shabbos. And you go to a store, there's seven kinds of cholent. Why? Because there are a lot of people in the cholent. There are tons of people. There are a lot of people in the cholent these days. And by you eating it, you're doing them a chesed. If you eat vegetarian cholent, you're just helping yourself. You may live longer, you know? But if you want to help all the people trapped in the cholent, you buy kosher cholent, and you make a bracha, and you save the guy. Says the Shevet Musar, the guy committed a capital offense. Don't look at the ox or the sheep of your friend. Cast in the cholent his salamta mayhem. Don't ignore them in the cholent. Hashiv teshivim. Bring them back. If you make the right bracha, you bring them back. What I just said is not for a general audience. Not everything we say in the Wednesday night shir is you start off the Friday night, have a really beautiful Dvar Torah to say over. Not, you have to pick and choose. Also, while you're eating the cholent, that's not necessarily the topic you want to bring up. Maybe before, after. Everything is timing. Smichas. This is a shir about smichas. Next, this is off the charts. Did you notice that the next subject is if you see the donkey or the ox of your friend who fell down, hakim takim imai, help them up. By the case of the lost guy, the lost one, it was a lost ox. By the fallen one, it's a donkey or the ox. What happened? Why in the first subject do we first talk about a shar, and in the next subject, chamor vishar? And in the first subject, it was just a shar. In the second subject, it's chamor and the shar. Says the Shevet Musar, you ready for this? There's one Mashiach or two Mashiachs?
Two.
There's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is called what? Shar. What is he? Bechor Shairai. Yosef. Yosef is a shar. We said this a million times, but we haven't said it in like 5 years. We used to talk about it a lot. We were very into Yishmal at one point. Shor is Mashiach ben Yosef. Chamor is Mashiach ben David. The first subject is Kisira Shor Achichasira Ashar Achicha. Shor is Mashiach ben Yosef. He comes first. After he comes, then the Chamor comes. Chamor is Mashiach ben David. Ani v'roichiv al Chamor. Once he comes, Shor becomes second fiddle. So in the first subject, first the Shor, and that's it. Mashiach ben Yosef. Second subject, Chamor, Mashiach ben David, and the Shor is a second. Next. It says, a man should not dress like a woman shouldn't dress like a man. What does it say right before that? If you see the lost, listen carefully, if you see the lost object of your friend and you want to ignore it, no, don't ignore it. And then it says, men should not dress like women should not dress like men. By the way, is there ever an exception that a man could dress like a woman or a woman could dress like a man? Purim! Even though the Ramah says Purim. We don't paskin that way. Don't do it. Don't do it. Not 2026, really. Not a good idea for many reasons. It's not good for your family. It's not good for your children. It's not good for you. The Ramah says, though, you could do it. You could. 500 years ago, you could do it. But technically, you're allowed to do it on Purim. So that's what it means. Don't dress, a man shouldn't dress like a woman, a woman shouldn't dress, but for his salamto, sometimes you could ignore that. When? On Purim. It's a remiss to the Ramah. V'hisalamta. So another remez is, why should a man not dress like a woman not dress? Because it's going to cause improper interaction between men and women. Imagine a man walks into a ladies' section, you know, dressed like a woman. It's not going to end well, okay? It's going to end up with bad stuff. It's going to bring to arayos. Is arayos always usher? Usually, but sometimes you need to ignore the prohibition of arayos. When? Like when Yael needed to leave Lysisra, she needed to ignore the prohibition. Or another obvious example is, right? Yael lived with Sisera 7 times. Who else? Esther. Esther. So what do you mean? Yeah, but she was still there. but Achashverosh, yeah, it still happened. You know. So what? How she went? She went. Why? The hisalamta. Sometimes you ignore it. Sometimes you can ignore it. Next, what in the world is the connection between a man shouldn't dress like a woman shouldn't dress like a man, and shiluach hakein? Shiluach hakein is a skula for what? Having children, banim. On the other hand, dressing like a man dressing like a woman brings to gilui arayos. Gilui arayos diminishes children. The person is distracted. Person is distracted. Instead of bringing children into the world, they're focused on the pleasure. So it's a contrast. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein adds children to Klal Yisrael, and dressing like a man dressing like a woman, subtracts from it. Another idea the Sifsei Koyin says is that some birds, the man sits on the eggs, and some birds, usually the ladies, you know, the women take care of the kids. Yeah, but there's some birds, the man takes a shift. So now it's confusing. Who's the man, who's the woman? You know? The changing of the roles gets very confusing. But the tzipar, it's a specific bird, she always does the babysitting. So that's parallel to Loisilbash Isha Bigdayish. Then, I'm going to tell you something we spoke out Sunday. If you heard it Sunday, you could take a little break now. Okay, you don't have to listen. No, it's good chazara. It says, Gedilim Tasilcha, make tzitzis. And then it says, if a man will marry a woman, what in the world is the connection between tzitzis and talis and getting married? So we spoke out on Sunday 6 approaches of Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir. Number one, first it's a good idea to get your house and your livelihood and then get married. So first it says get yourself a nice pair of clothing. You know, put yourself together and then you get married. Like the Gemara says that first establish yourself and then you get married. Another idea, Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir says, is that the minog is to put a talis over the chasen and kala. You ever see that? Svardim. Everyone is going to say some other person does it. Svardim does it. Germans do it. But not me. Now, actually, I went to a wedding last night, and it was beautiful. It was outdoors, in under the sky, in the Bronx, marina. And the chuppah was a talis over the chasen and kala. It's a merumas in this week's parsha. A man marries a woman, juxtaposed to that is, make tzitzis. The tzitzis cover the chasen and kala by the wedding. Also, the Gemara Nivama says, when a person gets married, avoynoisav mispakikin. Your sins, go away. But literally, mispakikin means they're covered. So, miskasin. So it says, get married. Right next to, cover yourself with a talis, to indicate your sins are covered. Also, the Gemara says, someone who is without a woman, then you don't have a protective wall. Like it says, nekeva tesoivev gever. You ever wonder, why is the woman circling the man? It's not because the mother-in-law is saying, go, make sure you no. It's, why people laugh when I say that? It's not funny. That's not the reason. The reason is, because the woman offers spiritual protection for the man. So the talis is literally the choyma, the protection. It covers a person with an ar makif, like the isha to the man. Also, what ensures the man remains faithful to his wife? We know the story in the Gemara Menachos. A guy went to meet a certain zayna, and as he was about to do the maisa, the tzitzis hit him in the face. So tzitzis are protection for the marriage. It's marriage insurance. Also, gedilim tasa l'cha is a lashon of gedula. A man without his wife is nothing. Is nothing. I'm sure she reminds you of that. And the Gemara says, anyone who doesn't have a wife has no Torah, has no toiva, has no bracha, has no choyma, has no shalom, has no chayim. So all of a sudden you get married and you have everything. You become great. Gedilim ta'aselecha. But then on Sunday we said over, isn't it a strange thing? I have a question. Imagine a guy, you say, well, why'd you go to McDonald's? What do you mean? I'm not married yet. Married? What does married have to do with the Torah? That there's no concept of, you start, I'll do it when I get married. You don't only keep the Torah when you're married. You don't wear tefillin when you get married. You don't learn Torah when you get married. You have to keep the Torah your whole life. So why exactly the guy gets married so he starts wearing a talis? What does Judaism have to do with marriage specifically? He should have been wearing a talis the whole time. Where is the source that you only start wearing a talis when you get married? And the Rishonim say it's the juxtaposition of ki yikach ish isha and gedilim tasalcha. The Rekech brings number 15. He found written in the Kotresim, where did the rabbis get that we don the chasen with the talis dafka b'yom chupasai? The answer is, it says gedilim tasalcha. Juxtaposed to that is ki yikach ish isha. The Sefer Hamanik says in France, in Provence, the chasanim are mesatif b'tzitzis. What's the raya? The medrash that says, why is tzitzis juxtaposed to ki yikach ish isha? The Talmud of the Maharami Rotenberg, the Tashbetz Katan, brings that the chasan is given a talis because of the juxtaposition. Also we mentioned, and so we have it here on the sheet, upon the sheet, of the son of Reb Chaim Falaji, that the minhag in Ashkenaz, the kala sends the talis to the chasan. You ever hear that minhag? You heard of it? The shver? No, the shver pays for it. And the kala sends it. Yeah? The kala get why? Because she is goyreim, the mitzvah of tzitzit, of talis. She causes it. So she sends it. So that's another, that's actually an example of almost deriving a minhag from the juxtaposition of the parsha. And finally, juxtaposition number 17. Now, I'll give you the executive summary. There are actually many, many more. There's 74 mitzvahs in the Torah. We're not going to do all 74 juxtapositions. One more is, right next to Lo Yavai Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, it says Lo Yavai Amoini Umayavi B'Kal Hashem. What's the connection between Mamzer and Amon Amayav? So the Smuchim La'ad of Rabbi Yoel HaKohen of Izmir brings from a sefer Mincha Belula. Mincha Belula was a Talmud of the Rashba. He says, actually, if you trace back Amon Amayav, where did they come from? Light, living with his daughter. So what exactly was his child? What was the progeny of Light and Light's daughters? Amon Amayav are Mamzerim. They're Mamzerim. That's why juxtapose Layave Amani Mayavi Kashem to Layave Mamzer. By the way, it says even the 10th generation should not come. Why does it need to say that? Just say, let them not come. Why even the 10th generation? You know why? Why? Say it.
Because it's the first couple is full Jew and a half Jew. It's a half, a quarter, an eighth. If you go all the way down to a 10th, it's 1,025.
Very good. Because by the 10th generation, you're only 1,024th part Mamzerus. You would think it's Batul be'elef. There are certain things that are Batul in 1,000. No, but you know what's not Batul in elef? A beria is not Batul be'elef. So the chiddush is even the 10th generation, which is Elef against it, still la yavai mamzer b'kashem. So here we go. We're going to review the different smichas that we discussed. First, from the Gemara Yevamos Daf Daled, the juxtaposition of don't muzzle the donkey, juxtaposed to the mitzvah of yibum, that a woman it doesn't have to do yibum if the guy is a mukashchen. Number two, the juxtaposition of yifas toyar to isha sinua. Number three, the juxtaposition to ben soiro mayra. Number four, the juxtaposition of the man who commits the capital offense. Shiluach HaKein awards you, number five, a new house, which awards you the mitzvah makkah, which awards you a new vineyard, which awards you new clothing. We learn out Dine Mamzer from Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv Lo Yavei Mamzer. Tzitzis, I'm almost done. Tzitzis and Shatnis, that you're allowed to make tzitzis on Shatnis. And Amole comes, number 11, dishonest weights and measures. So the guy who commits capital offense, what happens to him? He turns into cholent. That's the juxtaposition. Next, why first does it talk about the shor and then the chamor and the shor? First Mashiach ben Yosef, followed by Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. That's 13. Number 14, you could ignore. Don't mention just like a woman and vice versa, that sometimes you could ignore it. When? On Purim. It's a riot to the Ramah. It's a remez to the Ramah. Or sometimes you could ignore the Inyan of Arias, Ya'al and Sisra, Esther. And number 15, what does Shiluach HaKein got to do with don't a woman should not dress like a man? That avoiding Arayos is Marbe Banim, like the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. The connection between tzitzis and chasana, that the mitzvah of talis kicks in at the chasana. And finally, the connection between Amon Amoyav and Loyavai Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, because at the root, Amon Amoyav were Mamzerim. This is the concept of Smuchim La'ad La'olam. So the idea I was trying to advance is that even though the Gemara in Brachai says that only Tzedoikim don't accept smuchim, and the Gemara Yevamos says there's a legitimate position not to darshan smuchim. The legitimate position not to darshan smuchim is we can't derive halacha from smuchim, but everybody would agree that we're entitled to study and analyze and try to understand why did the Torah place certain things one next to each other. We might not be able to derive halacha. It's not a midah shahatornid reshes bahem that you could create halacha, but it's certainly something that we should try to analyze. What's the reason the Torah is masmech one inyan to the next, and it has eternal value, like David HaMelech says, smuchim laad li'olam asuyim be'emes v'yashar. Have a great night. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.